I'm Sasha Mayer, entrepreneur, mother, and co-founder of Mamava, the inventor of the freestanding lactation pod. My newest baby, The Bodacious Optimist, a podcast dedicated to celebrating and learning from the people who have inspired and helped me in my entrepreneurial journey. They are designers and storytellers, business leaders and activists who have challenged the status quo and thrived. Bodacious optimists believe that there are always solutions waiting to be unveiled.
Hey, it's Nikki Mikko, co-producer here with Sasha Mayer. And we are diving into the very first interview that we recorded with
Raina Boston. She was so good.
So good.
I met her at CareFest last year, which was this conference. We talk a little bit in the interview, and she was being honored as a care catalyst for her social media activism. But what was amazing to me is that she was basically on the stage with all of these heavy hitters in the media world. Krista Tippett, OG podcaster, LaFonza Butler, who's the senator of California, Tarana Burke, the founder of the Me Too movement. This woman who's like a mom of three, she's from Florida, she has a day job, she co-founded the Chamber of Mothers, and just is an amazing force.
Yeah, she is a force. She rolled up to this interview so clear and confident with just this warmth and kindness, but with a real spark and passion and living her truth, speaking her truth in sound bites that made you want to get up and run out and start doing things.
Probably the easiest edit we're ever going to have. So we don't want to give too much away. Here is our interview with Raina Boston. My guest today is Raina Boston. She's a co-founder of the national nonprofit, the Chamber of Mothers, and the leader of the Working Momtras, an online community aimed at empowering mothers. In addition to these roles, Raina is a mother of three, a full-time HR professional, and a writer, amongst many, many other things. We thank you so much for joining us, Raina.
I am so excited to be here.
So let's start with the Chamber of Mothers. Can you tell us what it's all about and how it came about?
Yeah, so we are a national nonprofit and we are focused on uniting mothers as advocates to create a better America. And that work centers around three pillars. So affordable and accessible childcare, federal paid family and medical leave, and improved maternal health. And we know that it's very hard to have maternal health without childcare and paid leave. So all of those issues intersect with one another. We were formed in 2021. Paid leave was included in the Build Back Better bill. And we were all so excited to see that that was a part of it. We were finally going to get it right as a country. And I was on leave with my third child, the only one with whom I had any type of paid leave for. And so I just remember feeling so proud to be an American that we were finally going to get it right, that nobody was going to have those experiences that I had with my first two leaves unpaid. And I watched it go from 12 weeks to 4 weeks to 0 weeks, and I got mad. And so did a lot of other mothers on the internet. And so in 2021, we came together to form Chamber of Mothers. Most of us didn't really know each other that well, but we were all having this, you know, collective WTF moment, and we are absolutely not going to take this. And so we, you know, we didn't know, is it a union? Is it a strike? You know, what is it? And so we ended up coming together to form this Chamber of Mothers. And that was actually Daphne Delvaux, who's the mama attorney. She said, you know, the Chamber of Commerce has paid leave as their number one job killer. Where is the Chamber of Mothers? And so that's how that came to be. And, you know, it was like capturing lightning in a bottle. So overnight, we had 10,000 followers on Instagram. We were covered in Parents and Self. Advocacy groups like Paid Leave US, Paid Leave for All, Moms Rising were tapping on us to reach into our communities to get moms in the states where their senators were waffling or could be pushed, get them in rooms and Zooms with them. And that's what we did. And by the end of 2021, it became clear that this was not going to happen, but we knew we had to keep going. And so I often say we were influenced by the moms who joined forces with us to make this more than just a moment, but a movement. And so we became a 501c3 and we are just going from there.
It's an amazing story of like the influencer age too, right? You were networked with each other. We had these social platforms, which so often are maybe not seen as positive, enabled you to connect and harness this energy. You know, the brand person in me just loves tweaking the chamber, and then that you called it the Chamber of Mothers, which also has some sort of like goth undertones, I feel, in a good, fun way. It's memorable, but I love this description that it's an all-volunteer effort built and run while we're operating businesses, feeding babies, folding laundry, and doing the care work that fuels the U.S. economy. So how do you balance that important work you do with your family and your home life and the stuff that puts groceries on the table and this advocacy work? How do you find that balance?
That's a really great question. I would say my kids really compel me to do this work. And they motivate, like, I do not want them to inherit this situation. If they decide that they want to have children one day, I want it to be a choice, not because childcare is too expensive, they're choosing not to have children, or not because them or their partner can't have any access to paid leave. Like, I want them to actually have a choice about what they want to do. And I also want them to inherit a country that is better than what we have. We should always be moving forward. We should always be progressing. And so it's almost like a compulsion. It's like, I have to make it work. Like, there's no, I don't really feel, and it, when I say I don't have a choice, it's not an obligation. It feels like, well, nobody's coming to save us. Like, nobody's coming to save them. Like, we got to get this done. And I feel like the strong urge to do it. And so I just fit it in where I can. And that looks like lunch breaks, and it looks like weekends, and it looks like nights, because this work is so important to me. And also, people really trust us with their stories. So they trust me with their paid leave nightmares or childcare nightmares and very intimate details. And it also feels like, how could I ever let another mother down who shared something like this with me?
Podcast is the Bodacious Optimist. And I feel, you know, facing this adversity and problems that our culture has so embedded, but by taking it on, it just feels like it feels bodacious. And then it feels like optimistic. And it's front-footed in terms of solving problems versus almost like protesting them. It's like a nuanced sort of balance there, which I think it has been a lot about my experience. It's like, well, I guess if no one else is going to do it, I have to help figure it out in the realm of the breastfeeding world. Super powerful, and super powerful to think about your kids as anchoring the whole rationale around it, right? And
I feel like we often talk about motherhood as like your self dies a little bit and like you like become a new person. And I have found that my kids have really pushed me to become more of who I already was. Like, I don't have time to pretend to be anybody else. And so like who I am at my core is somebody who advocates and who stands up for the things that I, you know, I have a strong sense of justice. And I really, really have had to be more of myself. And that looks a little bit like, well, you know, I have a job that pays the bills, but like, this is the stuff that like really fuels me and motivates me. And like the things that I want to be doing.
I mean, I think ultimately probably what makes you a good employee too in your job. I know that after I had kids, it's like the shit got real, right? Like I had stuff to do. So I was going to deliver in the time I had to do it at the office. And then there was no sort of like, procrastination went out the window, and you just became, at least my experience, a more effective employee in that way too.
For sure. I think that, you know, so often I think companies and our society treats moms like liabilities, but we are holding this whole thing together And so what would happen if you actually honored, appreciated, affirmed, and valued our labor? And how much further ahead would we be?
I love that. I think it's so important. I think the last time you and I connected, we talked about, great, build back better. And we don't have the care supports that actually put people successfully into the workforce.
We don't have infrastructure. Those, all of those things are, you know, I'm not the first person to say this, but you need roads and bridges to get to work. You need childcare to get to work. Like, childcare is created because people need to go to work. So this is necessary infrastructure that our nation needs to invest in so that people can get to work and fuel the economy.
I love it. And I think, you know, so much of it is hidden, right? It's this care work that we do not see. And, you know, how can we, through activism like Chamber of Mothers or through infrastructure like lactation pods or whatever else might be out there, make it actually visible and connect the dots there, I think is super important. Let me ask you about breastfeeding.
Yeah.
So you are one of our guests who has recently pumped and breastfed, and you've been really open about that aspect and complexity of motherhood on your social channels. And of course, our mission is all about making breastfeeding an authentic choice for folks who should choose to do it. So we'd love to hear about your breastfeeding journey, or we know that every mom has some crazy breastfeeding stories to tell. So maybe you can share one of yours.
Yeah. So I breastfed all three of my kids. So my first son, I breastfed for about 9 months. My second kid made it to 13 months. And then my last baby, she nursed for 19 months. And with all of them, there was combo feeding going on and pumping and, you know, everything else. And I would say the biggest thing that made the biggest difference was time. So the child that nursed the longest was because I was home for almost 6 months with her. And so we often don't talk about paid leave as something that creates the space for that to happen, because for breastfeeding, in many instances, to be successful, you need time with your child on you and all of this to create that space. And so I balanced all of that with working full time with each of them. And I went to great lengths to make it happen with my first kid. You know, there's also an evolution of thinking too. Like my first kid, I would say, oh, I only made it like 9 months. And, you know, I had a lactation IBCLC challenge me on that and say, like, only? Like, that's a long time. You did a great job. And also, your worth is not measured in ounces. And I really needed to hear that, because I felt like such a failure that I couldn't make it to a year. But what an unfair expectation to make of mothers in a country that does not offer paid leave and that doesn't offer support. Or, you know, I go back to work and I have to kick people out of the lactation room that are not lactating. And I think about that all the time, that I think that, you know, advocating for breastfeeding is also advocating for paid leave.
We often talk about just how breastfeeding benefits all of us, because there are so many positive maternal health outcomes, and the data surrounding extended or at least breastfeeding in general, you know, in terms of the financial outcomes, eventually affects every single person, because it's such an easy intervention if our culture can be more supportive of that.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. You spoke earlier about the storytelling and the activism being about carrying other people's stories forward and the responsibility around that. Can you talk more about the power of storytelling in activism or in, like the Working Mantras work?
Sure. So the Working Mantras space has like always been a place for us to dialogue about our experience, right? About what it is to be a mother in this moment and being a working mother. And like, I will caveat that by saying, I think all moms work. and we should be calling all of ourselves working mothers, and have a lot of thoughts on that. But some of the things I do in that space are ask people to tell me their paid leave stories, or ask them how much they're spending on childcare, or how they're doing camp and how they're paying for it, and, you know, all of those things. And it's so important to me because so much of the motherhood experience in this country is isolation. And so you think you're the only person who hasn't figured this out. There's something wrong with you because childcare feels too expensive. There's something wrong with you because you didn't feel ready at 12 weeks. There's something wrong with you because you're having a hard time affording all of this, gesticulates wildly, when everybody's experiencing these things. And we've been taught to internalize and individualize institutional failures. And so a huge part of the work that I do is really having conversations that normalize all of this, that there's nothing wrong with you and that you're not broken, because then everybody would be broken if that was the case. It is our institutions that are scamming us into thinking that it's us when it's them. And so I think that carries forward into Chamber of Mothers is because we are working on narrative shift. And so a lot of that work is hearing and bearing one another's stories, but also an exchange of stories so that when we are at a fly-in or talking to the media or something like that, we have stories to draw from. Like, in one example that I always give is, I was talking about childcare with my community, and one person was talking about how she had to tap into a home equity line of credit to pay for childcare expenses because they weren't expecting to either have a second child that quickly. It's neither here nor there, but there's something wrong in this country if people are having to do those types of things in order to afford childcare. And also, we should be thinking about the stories of what happens to the person who doesn't have a HELOC to tap into and they are struggling with the cost of childcare. These are very big problems, and we need to be framing them as actual stories. Like, when we, like, that is real. People can, like, viscerally feel tapping into a HELOC to pay for, like, they can feel it and they feel that it's not right. When I talk about people who are teachers who are trying to time their pregnancies with the summer because there is no paid leave, and then it's a teacher who runs into needing to use IVF and they have no control essentially over this. I mean, we need to be talking about that. We need to be talking about how those same institutions and those same problems, you don't outrun it in K through 12, because when you get to academia, the same problems are there because it was never invented for women to be successful, and it was invented for white men. And so they also don't have paid leave. And we need to be talking about these things so that we can shift the narrative, so that not only can companies and institutions and organizations do the right thing, but, like, this helps move the needle and shift perspectives and put the pressure federally for it to change for everybody.
What kind of advice do you give, if you do give advice, to moms who are struggling with support at work, you know, in their parental identity? You know, do you work on that and give support on that more singular level versus the bigger policy and activist work that you do?
Sometimes. I think my whole advice thing is really that so much of this is a scam. Like, there's just so many scams. Like, where did we get the idea that achieving, like, the one thing that I'll always hear is, like, oh, where did my achievement go? I can't do the same things in the way that I used to do them before kids. I can't go as hard as I used to. And I also, like, really want to push back and think, like, why do you have to be going the same? Why is achievement only relegated to success under capitalism? Why can't, like, raising your, like, good humans be an achievement? Why can't, you know, maintaining your career in the ways that make sense for you? Maybe it doesn't make sense to, at the, like, in a certain period of your career to go super hard. Maybe, like, we could just honor the ebbs and flows of our life and that be an achievement in and of itself. And I think that we're so taught that achievement, like, everything is so rigid. Everything is so, and the only success or the only achievement that matters is under capitalism and, like, whatever that means. And I really push back against that. And I guess, you know, that's my advice, is really asking people to align with their values as opposed to what society, culture, somebody who wrote a book or who's trying to sell you something is trying to tell you what it looks like. Like, why can't you define that for yourself? Why is that not a success?
I think that a lot of the theme of what we've been talking about today is actually around positioning. And in my past life as in the design profession and brand strategist, you did positioning work. What did this brand stand for? And who was its audience going to be? And how do you talk about it? And so much of what you were talking about, you know, with your lactation consultant, for instance, making it to those 9 months, she repositioned it. Right. It was as achievement and as success. And what you're talking about there is really about framing it in a much more optimistic and positive way, and reframing things, as you've said, is really what needs to happen. And positioning how the important care is and how much it's worth is, and what you all are doing. And with Chamber of Mothers, again, it's like, these are like brand decisions and positioning decisions about how you've gone about this, which I think is amazing. So changing a little bit, we actually connected and met at the wonderful Care Fest last year that was hosted in California by the organization called Caring Across Generations. And you were honored for your social media influencer work. And the Chamber of Mothers, tell us about that experience and what were your major takeaways from that conference?
So the experience to me, I often tell people my favorite job was camp counselor. I was a camp counselor for 2 summers in North Carolina, and the sessions were only 2 weeks. So like, you have to be able to form bonds and relationships super fast. Like, it's a very intense like situation. And that, like, CareFest is probably the closest that I've come to that in the adult world, is that you had only a couple of days to make these types of connections. And the cool thing is everybody has the same values around, like, we agree on care is a centerpiece of living in the society, and that we need to honor it and create space for it and, you know, all those things. And so it was just really fun. And it was just that same kind of like fast friends, fast, like, you're just feeling very plugged in and immersed in a very short amount of time. And I just left with so many different connections. I left feeling so buoyed and optimistic about, there are a lot of really smart people working on this, and there's a lot of people that give a damn, and there's just no possible way that these people are not going to solve it.
I loved CareFest because it was sincerely like the Oscars for people who provide care. And again, it was giving visibility to all of this sort of hidden work that is so fundamental to what keeps us moving forward and what keeps us human. And they were putting these folks like yourself on a pedestal, as they should, right? And feeding us beautiful food and providing, you know, inspiration with media and music. And it was just a revelation for me that something like that even existed. And that, again, there's so many people, as you said, working on it and too important to fail, right?
Mm-hmm. And I also think one of the really neat things about the event to me is you actually had people doing the work. So nannies and union organizers. It wasn't just like some big philanthropic person doing something. It was everybody that has to come together to make that. Like, I mean, you can tell that these are like organizers who put this together because it was very solidarity focused. And I could literally be in that bubble all the time. It quite literally changed my life.
Love it. A few little rapid round questions to ask you. And not to overthink any of them.
Okay.
So you live in Florida, and I know you are a Golden Girls fan. Yeah. Which Golden Girl are you?
Dorothy all day.
Why?
Dorothy is smart. She can, like, get you with just one look. She doesn't have to say anything. She is hilarious. She is cares for her friends, but she's no nonsense. I just love it.
That resonates. From what I know of you, that resonates for sure. Also, I want to circle back to the whole lean in thing. You're leaning in still, just so you know. Maybe you're not using that language, but you're doing a pretty good job there.
Thank you.
One piece of advice in any category that you'd like to share.
Okay, so a few years ago, I went to this talk with this rabbi, randomly saw it on a Facebook event thing, and it was about Kabbalah. And I was just like, whatever, this sounds like it could be fun. And so I went. I didn't know anything about it. I just like think mysticism is cool. And like, I just thought it would be really neat. And this rabbi said, we are here to confer our unique gifts to others. And it changed my life because like we are, I think, constantly trying to be a templated version of like whatever is the ideal or who you've got to be somebody other than who you are. And if you aren't yourself, then you can't confer your unique gifts to others because you're too busy trying to be an imposter of somebody else. And I felt like that gave me so much permission to be myself, but also look for people who are conferring their gifts to others. And also it's such a good anchor point to like, if I'm taking something on or doing something, is this me conferring my unique gifts to others? Is this somebody else's gift? Like, is this in alignment with my values? And so it just like, that's my advice to anybody is just like, what are your gifts and how can you give them to other people? Because that gives other people permission to be more of themselves. And that's what we need is people being themselves and conferring those gifts. It just like is to me feels like a constant affirmation or permission to do those things.
I love it. We have a brand value that actually started with my colleague, Janet, when she was pretty much the only employee, and she wasn't even an employee. She felt strongly about Mamava. And I said, well, some people are interested. If you can sell them, we'll give you a commission. And we were just starting out and working things through at our dining room table. And I said, Janet, I'm not sure if we're going to figure this out. And she said to me, don't worry, Sasha, we each have different gifts for the revolution.
Wow.
And that became it's actually on my notebook even. I have it on my notebook here. What is the proudest achievement you've had so far, either professional or personal?
I think just creating this little family that I have. It has just been very intentional and has required, it has really required like a shift, like it's for it to stay together and for it to work. And so us kind of choosing each other and also like joining forces to like help our kids be more of who they are is just such a big accomplishment to me. It's so special to me.
That's beautiful and so important. And again, it's like a framing of that being the main thing, the most important thing, versus like something you tick off on your life's journey.
Yeah. It's like it informs my values. Like it informs everything I do.
So the podcast is called The Bodacious Optimist. What are you bodaciously optimistic about?
I think I mentioned this earlier, but I am bodaciously optimistic about the fact that like what can't go on forever won't. And we cannot live in a nation that does not center care and support and subsidize care. That cannot go on forever. It has to change. And we are, you know, when I had my first son in 2015, it was like pie in the sky to be thinking that we'd be having conversations about paid leave and like more and more states rolling it out and people feeling comfortable talking about it and companies talking about their leave and all of this information. All of that seemed so unlikely in 2015. And we're not even 10 years later. And it is a normal part of the conversation.
Super beautiful. Great conversation.
So fun.
What else do you want our listeners to know? Do you want to share your social follows?
Yeah.
What else?
So I would encourage anybody listening to this to, one, follow Chamber of Mothers. We are doing so many cool things this year, and we are just at Chamber of Mothers on Instagram. Our website is www.chamberofmothers.com. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of things this year. We have so many initiatives rolling out. And one of the coolest things that we do are local chapters. So this is a place for moms and people who support moms to come together and build confident community with one another. And one thing, this ties into what we were talking about. One of our exercises is, what kind of change maker are you? And so there are storytellers, there are helpers, there are organizers, there's, you know, different, it takes all kinds. And so to your point about what gifts are you bringing to the revolution, not everybody has to be at a protest. Some people are calling to get the permit so you can do the protest. And there is a space and a place for all of that. And one is not more important than the other. And all of those gifts are necessary and meaningful and will move the revolution forward. So I highly recommend just finding out where we're rolling out next and being a part of that. And you can also follow me at The Working Momtras, just like mantra, but mom. And I'm on Instagram. My website is theworkingmomtras.com.
Well, Raina Boston, thank you so much for sharing your gifts.
Thank you.
We are looking forward to all of the amazing progress that you and your colleagues at Chambers of Mothers are making happen right now. And we are so grateful that you joined us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Bodacious Optimist. You can support the show by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. To learn more about MamaVa's work making the world a more inclusive place for breastfeeding, visit MamaVa.com. And remember, we each have different gifts for the revolution.